Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
When I was 10, my life changed in ways I could never have imagined. My father inherited an old house in remote New South Wales from a distant relative we barely knew. He thought it would be an idyllic place to raise a family, away from the hustle and bustle of city life. Little did he know what awaited us. The house was nestled in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by dense bushland. It was the perfect picture of tranquility, at least during the day. The house itself had an eerie, antiquated charm, with creaking floorboards and dimly lit hallways that seemed to stretch on forever. My family consisted of my father, my mother, my older sister Lucy, and me. We moved in with excitement and a sense of adventure, unaware of the horrors that would soon unfold. The first few nights were pretty uneventful. My father busied himself with repairs, my mother unpacked, and Lucy and I explored the property. On the fourth night, I had my first encounter. I was in my room, reading a book, when I felt a sudden chill. The room seemed darker than usual, and I had the unmistakable feeling of being watched. I looked up, and there, peering around the corner of the doorframe, was a figure. It was barely visible, like a shadow, but I could make out the shape of a head and shoulders. I froze, my heart pounding in my chest, and the figure remained there for a few agonizing moments before disappearing. I convinced myself that it was just my imagination, despite the creeping fear that settled in my bones. Weeks passed and odd things continued to happen, mostly to me. My toys would be moved around and my bed would occasionally shake in the middle of the night. I told my parents, but they dismissed it as nightmares or childish imagination. One night I woke up to a whispering voice hissing my name. I sat up, drenched in sweat, and saw the same figure from before, now at the foot of my bed. It was closer and clearer. It had no features, just an inky blackness.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I screamed and my mother rushed in, and the figure vanished the moment she opened the door, leaving her to comfort me and dismiss it as a bad dream. It wasn't until Lucy had her own experience that my parents began to take things seriously. She came to me one morning, pale and shaken, saying that she'd seen a woman in old-fashioned clothes standing at the foot of her bed, staring at her with hollow eyes. My parents started to believe something was off, but didn't want to admit that something supernatural might be happening. Our situation escalated over the 5 years that we lived there. It started out small, lights flickering, strange noises, and cold drafts, but grew increasingly malicious. Two experiences stand out vividly in my memory from what I recall. The first happened during our second year. My father had gone into town, leaving the rest of us alone, and it was a stormy night and the house seemed alive with almost its own energy. Lucy and I were in the living room trying to watch TV despite the frequent power flickers, and suddenly, the room went ice cold and the TV turned off entirely. In the next moment, the corner of the room darkened and we both saw it, an unmistakable figure peering out from the shadows, its eyes reflecting the dim light. It slowly moved closer and we could make out the shape of its mouth, twisted into a very cruel smile. Lucy grabbed my hand and we bolted upstairs to my parents' room, locking the door behind us. My mother tried to calm us down, but she too felt the coldness and unease that permeated the house. Another terrifying event occurred in our fourth year. My father had become more open to the idea that something was clearly wrong. He brought in a local priest to bless the house after numerous pleas from my mother. And that night, after the blessing, I was in the kitchen getting a drink of water when I felt a presence behind me. I turned and saw the same figure that had haunted me for years, now clearer than ever. It was a man, gaunt and hollow-eyed, with one side of his face hideously scarred. He stood at the entrance of the kitchen, blocking my exit, and I was paralyzed with fear. He began to move towards me, slowly, deliberately, and every step he took seemed to drain the warmth from the room. I fell to the floor, unable to move, only managing to scream when he was inches away. My father burst in and the figure vanished, leaving the air thick with dread. The priest's blessing had stirred whatever malevolence resided there. In our final year, things became unbearable. The entire family started hearing voices, footsteps, and seeing the figure, now bolder and more frequent in its appearances. It seemed to thrive on our fear, growing stronger and more aggressive. Doors would slam, objects would fly across the room, and we all felt watched all the time. And we decided enough was enough. One evening, as we packed our things to leave, the activity reached a fever pitch. The house shook, the temperature dropped to freezing, and all of us saw shadows darting around. It seemed the entity didn't want us to go, but we were very resolute in our decision. We moved out the next day, leaving behind that cursed house and never looking back. Later on, we learned that the house had a very dark history. The man who built it in the 1800s was rumored to have gone mad and taken the lives of his family. His spirit, along with others, was said to haunt the property, reliving their final moments in a twisted loop of torment. Living in that house changed us all. We never spoke of it much after we left, but the memories lingered. And even now, years later, sometimes I wake up in the dead of night, half expecting to see a face peering around the corner, watching and waiting.
How do you like being alone at home? Isn't it kind of exciting when after months of being in a house full of people, you suddenly get a day of peace? I felt the same when my family decided to visit my grandma Eleanor, as her health was falling rapidly. But they left me looking at how my exams were starting in 3 days. Not like I was going to study or anything in their absence. I had an entire plan of chilling and relaxing in this empty home. Right after they left, I first drew a bubble bath for myself and played the music of my choice, which I never got to when others were here since its lyrics were a bit lewd. My family always had these weirdly strange expectations from girls that they shouldn't be interested in such things, or think about it on that matter, but I have always been a bit different from others. Trust me, sometimes I even surprise myself when I'm sneakily watching those kinds of videos in my room and I got turned on by that. So I guess you get an idea of what I was going to do in that bubble bath. And those of you who didn't get it, I'll leave it to your imagination. I wasn't some underage girl to not understand right or wrong. Instead, I was a college student who had been single for almost all of her life and had some needs of my own. As I was giving myself a nice session and was almost on the edge, I suddenly felt as if someone was watching me. I turned around to see no one was there. And I knew no one could be home because literally everyone was on the flight. It was strange. I don't believe anyone knew the passcode for the house. Thinking it to be my imagination, I went back to finish what I had started. And once I was done, I relaxed for a few moments. When again, I felt someone watchful eyes on me. I got out of the bathtub, wrapped a bathroom around me, and started looking to see if anyone was there. But again, it was nothing. My bedroom window was open though, and as I went to close it, I found a note sticking on its door. I opened it, only to find it was written by my red lipstick. And the words were, "Although it wasn't my intention when I broke in, regardless, I enjoyed the show." A sudden chill ran down my spine. Someone was here, and they saw me. My first reaction was to close the window and lock it from the inside, and then went around the house to check if anyone was there before locking all the other doors and windows. Luckily, nothing else happened that day. But the next morning, I woke up from my doorbell, which was continuously ringing for the past 5 minutes. Whoever it was had no patience, to the point where it was annoying me. So I quickly put on my shorts and t-shirt and headed downstairs to see which maniac was ringing the doorbell. I opened the door, but there was no one. Instead, there was a package lying on the floor, so I picked it up and went back inside. There was an address written over there, neither sender's nor mine, so I figured whoever it was must have left it on the door and run off. There was a weirdly slutty outfit in there when I opened the package with a note. "For tonight, do it in this, baby." My hands started trembling, and I dropped them on the floor. I had gotten a stalker who was creeping the hell out of me. This seemed pretty dangerous with me being alone at home, and considering how my family wasn't going to come back for another week, I had to somehow deal with it on my own. But unexpectedly, nothing out of the ordinary happened for the night, despite me being fretful, till I fell asleep. I was awakened by the feeling of being touched by someone. When I woke up, I saw a boy wearing a mask. The reason I said it was a boy was because I could tell by looking at his physique that he was around 15 or 16 in his teenage years. But despite being a 22-year-old woman, I was still terrified by the look in his eyes, and the fact that he had broken into not just my house, but my room as well. Something about him was sparkling through his eyes as if he was saying he would kill me if I scream or make a noise. And not only that, he was holding a knife. He didn't do anything though, and left through the window. And when I came back to my senses, panic started to rise in me. Who was that kid? Why would a kid break into my house? I'm sure it wasn't just so he could feel me up with the fact he broke into my room the other day, as well as when I was taking a bath. But it was clear that whatever it was he wanted collided with his teenage hormones after he watched me that day. Not only that, but with the fact that he was coming and going around the house with such ease, he must live around here somewhere. But how did he unlock the windows? I remember quite clearly that I locked it before falling asleep. Anyway, I didn't strain my mind thinking about it anymore, and decided to have a walk around the neighborhood since I had a pretty good idea about the few houses which had teenage boys. The next day, as I was walking around, I noticed Miss Britt's son getting a scolding from stealing from her. Miss Britt's son was 17 years old at the time, but despite that, he looked 2 years younger than his age. By the looks of it, she had grounded him and was cutting on his pocket money, which led him to steal. Seemed pretty interesting to me, though, since she is known for being a perfectionist and quite strict.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
She was also one of those nagging Karens who's always sticking their nose in other people's business and always keeps track of how many years it's been since I last dated. Well, that gave me an idea of who might be the one breaking in. But before I could be sure, I needed to check something. I went back to my house and went through the places I put money. And bingo, that shithead was stealing from me. So that was the main reason he kept breaking into my house. And now that he already had started the game, I was going to write its end. The same evening when I was enjoying the nice cool breeze on my front lawn, I saw him walking on the other side of the road. As our eyes met, I waved at him with a big grin on my face. And I could tell by his reaction that he had gotten nervous. But I wasn't going to let him get away with this, so I called him over. He hesitantly crossed the road and walked to my house. "How's it going, Chase?" I asked, giving him the politest smile I could. "Everything's going fine." Well, his smile was awkward, though, and I knew why. It's fun. He looked at me with a confused expression, trying to figure out what I was referring to. School, I said again, with a chuckle this time. Yes it is. He nervously chuckled in response. So, what about are you doing these days? Is it fun messing with me? I whispered in his ears after walking closer to him, which made him take a step back. What do you mean? He looked around to check if anyone was watching, which was kind of funny to look at. Oh, you know exactly what I mean. And if you want to hide our little stalking and stealing a secret from your parents, you would be helping me with my needs. But of course, they are unique, and I'm not sure you'll be enjoying some of them or not. I gave an evil grin as I said that. He nodded nervously in response, and then I let him go, after instructing him to come into my bedroom later tonight, just the way he had been for the past 2 days. I think I'll be closing his mother's mouth pretty soon after this.
From the ages of around 6 to 11, my family and I lived in a very rough neighborhood. One night it was just my mom, myself, and my two siblings at home. My dad used to drive truck for a living, which obviously meant that he was away an awful lot, meaning a lot of the time it was just our mom taking care of us. That night at around midnight, someone started ringing our apartment's buzzer. My mom woke up and went to the little intercom to ask who it was, and no one answered. She thought that maybe it was some kids playing Ding Dong Ditch or something juvenile like that, so instead of being scared, she was just annoyed as she went back to bed. But then about 30 minutes later, someone starts buzzing for a second time. Mom gets up again and peers through the side window to see if she can spot anyone out there, but she can't see a single living soul, and that's when she started to freak out. She goes back to the room and grabs my dad's gun, and then sits in the living room in the dark, just waiting for someone to try and break in. After God knows how long, there was another buzz. This time, Mom said she very calmly explained that if they carried on harassing us, she was going to call the cops, and if they tried to break in, she would shoot them. Again, there was no response, so she went back to the window to see if she could spot anyone, and that time, she did. She said that there were three guys out there, faces covered, all looking up at the window, all looking right at her. Mom said she rushed to call the cops, all the while me and my two siblings were asleep in our bedroom. No one tried to break in right away, but my mom had to wait for an hour for the cops to finally show up, and when they did, they buzzed our buzzer, causing her to freak out one more time, thinking that the masked men were outside again. Thankfully, it was the cops, and she invited them up to do a quick look and around the outside of the apartment building to make sure no one was hanging around. After their search, they tell my mom that they had found a piece of barbed wire about 4 feet long next to the front door and asked if it belonged to my mom. She said that it wasn't hers and asked why. The cop then told her that there was a chance that it belonged to whoever was knocking at the door. Mom asked if they thought the people were planning on using it, and although they assured her that there was no way of knowing that, she's convinced to this day that they were planning on torturing us. However, what the cops did confirm is that she was very smart not to open the door to see who was there, otherwise it could have cost her life. They also said that they'd patrol the neighborhood until morning and do a thorough investigation once there was daylight. And later on that morning, once my siblings and I were at school, they called back to talk to her about something. They said that when they were searching around the house, they found footprints leading around to the back of the home, leading up to my bedroom window. You see, our apartment was on the second floor, so scarily accessible to anyone with a fairly long ladder. They also found nicks in the window sill where the person, or persons, were trying to pry open the window to break in, but failed. My mom always suspected that one of our neighbors had been involved, because he would always stare very creepily at my mom whenever they crossed paths. They also knew when my dad wasn't home since he knows what vehicle he drives. Mom said that was the final straw of wanting to get the hell out of that place, and as soon as my dad came home, she gave him a very strong ultimatum. Find us someplace else to live, or she was leaving him and taking us kids with her. And so within 6 months we were living somewhere else, and I celebrated my 12th birthday someplace where she actually felt safe, and not in a neighborhood where she felt like she needed to sleep with one eye open.
Hey guys, thanks so much for all the support. If you haven't subscribed to the channel yet, please feel free to do so.
No, I want to go hiking, Derek insisted.
Just shut up and pack your swimsuits, Gabriella responded in annoyance.
But Mom, we will be going there by bus. Isn't it better to go on a hiking trip this year?
He said while trying to convince her. You know why we do this every year, right? She looked at him and asked, while hoping he would stop being unreasonable. Why should we do this? It's the dad who killed her. Derek mumbled in a frustrated tone, which Gabrielle and me both heard. Derek, if you cannot go with us, then you won't go anywhere. Go to your room right now. She scolded while smacking him on his back, and he stomped upstairs in response. Don't be harsh on him, honey. I think I'll go there by myself this year, I said with a defeated tone, who was watching the entire time. No, you know we'll be together to support you, no matter what, right?
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
She came closer and wrapped her arms around my neck while saying this. I nodded. Around 8 years ago, I used to live in an old house that my grandma left for me near the beach. The house was pretty old, and it needed regular maintenance, so I was doing just that. One day, I woke up in the middle of the night and I could not sleep after that, so I decided to take a walk and get some fresh air. I drank some water, grabbed my jacket, and went outside the house. As I was walking, I went near the beach. That was when I noticed a girl wearing a white dress was sitting on the opposite side of the beach. I could not see her face. All I could notice was her long black hair, along with the white dress that she was wearing. Water was washing off her feet and half of her body seemed wet. I thought, she may be depressed or something, and that must be the reason for her being here at this hour. So I did not think much of it at the time and went back to walking for a few minutes. The next day, I called my fiancée Gabriella and talked with her for hours. Gabriella and I were dating for almost 5 years now, and I had recently proposed to her. She was also pregnant with my child at the time, and I was in love with her more than ever. After talking to her for about an hour or so, I got ready for work and headed out. As I was passing through the beach, the scene from last night flashed through my mind. The same night I was drinking alone around midnight, when I saw from the entrance that the same girl walked toward the same spot that she was sitting last night when she sat there. Maybe she just recently went through a breakup or something. That's what I thought then. As I was drinking, I stared at her, who was just sitting still, staring at the ocean for hours. But I soon got tired and started feeling sleepy, so I went to my bed. I continued my routine as always, and after waking up, I first texted Gabrielle good morning, took a shower after that, and got ready for work. I went down to the kitchen while dialing her number and started making eggs. Morning, honey. What are you up to? She said as soon as she answered the phone. Missing my love in my arms, I said playfully, and she chuckled in response. After that, I talked to her while making and then eating breakfast. I told her about the girl in the white dress that I kept seeing for the last 2 days. "Be careful. She might be a lost spirit or something," she said in a serious tone, which made me pause for a few seconds, but then she burst into laughter. "You scared me," I said, taking a deep sigh of relief. "Don't worry, maybe she's going through something. Just don't pay much attention. And if you're curious, just ask her if anything is troubling the girl," she said in a chill tone. "No, thanks. I don't want to approach a possible ghost," I said, and we both started to laugh. After that, I kept noticing for a few days her sitting there and staring at the ocean, while the waves wash off at her feet, making her half body wet in the process. From her appearance, she seemed in her early 20s, but I could never see her face. One day when I was talking to my fiance, she asked, "It's been almost a month. Is she still doing that?" I told her that she was, so she said that maybe the girl needed help and suggested I offer help. I was thinking the same for the past couple of days, so I agreed. Later that night when I saw the girl sitting there, I walked closer to her and stood behind her. I called out for her, but she did not respond. I walked a bit more closely and asked if everything was okay. She turned her head toward me. Her lips looked chapped, and there were huge dark circles under her eyes. It made me scared for a few seconds. Then I shook my head and asked again if she needed any help. She kept staring at me without saying anything. I thought it was a waste of time and turned to leave. That was when someone grabbed my legs all of a sudden and started pulling me into the water. I turned and saw that it was her. She had a completely blank expression on her face, as if she did not have any emotion at all, which scared me even more. At this point, I was sure that this was no human, but a ghost, because as she grabbed my legs, I could feel her long nails piercing into my skin. I kicked with all my might and tried to run, but she again grabbed me into the water. But I was so terrified that as a protective response, I strangled her and left her in the water. After that, I ran, panting, in my house and called Gabriella to tell her everything that happened. She asked me to calm down, saying if it's really a ghost, I did not kill an actual person. The next day, I saw many people and police officers gathered around near the beach. As I was panicking, someone rang the doorbell. I opened it hesitantly and saw that it was Gabriella at the door. I started crying, and she just held me while telling me that everything would be okay. I went ahead and confessed everything to the police officers about what happened that night. They told me that the girl's name was Sarah, and the reason she may have done that was that she had a mental condition along with severe trauma for men. Sarah was harassed and physically abused by her uncle and his sons from a very young age until she was rescued by a women's organization. But as a result, she developed a mental condition. I was sentenced to jail, but they released me early since what I did was due to self-defense. I was released from prison 2 years ago, and ever since then, I went to the beach every year to put flowers on the grave of the person I killed. "How about we go hiking next week?" I entered Derek's room and said. His face lit up, but then suddenly, he looked at me with an apologetic reaction. "Sorry, Dad, for saying rude things earlier." I smiled and hugged him. After that, we took our stuff and headed out. I kissed her while looking at her with extreme love in my eyes. As we were heading to the beach, I was thinking that I was thankful to Gabriella for waiting for me and always standing beside me. No one knew where it came from. We all went to sleep the night before, and it was there the next morning. Not even the owners of the house on both sides had a clue how it got there. Neither homeowner ever heard as much as the hiss of air brakes. During the whole of that night,
The only real indication of how it arrived was the trailer was sitting upon. I was still relatively young at the time, around 13, but the subject was a hot topic around the neighborhood, and every person I spoke to, whether a kid or an adult, was eager to talk about it. Our neighborhood was somewhere new and off by itself, and it wasn't out of the ordinary for folks to dump things out there. Dogs and cats were the most common, but one or two cars would turn up every year. A house, though, no one ever seen that or expected it. The days passed, but no information could be gotten from anywhere. Soon, it began to take on a spooky and haunted reputation, along with its phantom like a rival in the dark of the night. It did look a little familiar to that house from Psycho. The stories first reached me while I was talking to a friend's younger brother. Among the grade school kids, the house was becoming a very real symbol of fear, although it was just an old empty house to me. This fear didn't prevent some of the more adventurous of them just entering and exploring it. I witnessed a particularly funny episode just by chance. While loafing aimlessly around the streets, I was passing by in time to see a preteen boy running from the house in terror, claiming that something had grabbed him. Whether his imagination had gotten the best of him, or an older kid was having a bit of fun, the horror put upon this abandoned house had fully taken root in the neighborhood. While this was going on, a real boogeyman had been forgotten about. I'll not put his actual name here, not because of privacy, but that of the victims. We'll call him Rudy. Rudy had grown up in the neighborhood, and until he was arrested, was well liked by a lot of the parents, had voiced their fears early on because of his habit of hanging around younger boys. When he was released from jail, he was allowed to move in with his folks. Anyone who wasn't aware of his proclivities beforehand knew now every parent in the neighborhood watched him closely. But when the ghost house popped up, people's focus is shifted. A few of us teenagers were riding our bikes around the neighborhood. The father of a boy we'll call Bill was looking for a son. I overheard him speaking to a young kid close by him, asking if he had seen him. Nonchalantly, the boy said that he had seen Bill going into that ghost house with Rudy just a few minutes prior. And this got my full attention. The shock of the father's face is still crystal clear in my mind. I turned around and watched the father run full speed into the house. Most of us there stood transfixed as we saw Bill's dad disappear inside. Things were quiet for about the first 30 seconds. Then, all of a sudden, a loud ruckus broke out, followed by Rudy flying out of the doorway and onto the ground below. Billy's dad was close behind. He leapt onto Rudy, throwing fists as he landed. Bill came out a few seconds later, crying for his dad to stop. His dad ignored him, standing up and kicking Rudy to the ground over and over. Rudy eventually got to his feet and ran for home. Billy and his dad were right behind him. I continued to watch until they disappeared from my sight. Billy and Rudy would both claim later on that nothing had happened between them. Either way, Billy's dad had the support of most of the community, and Rudy declined suppressed charges on him. Rudy would eventually move away and out of the minds of most of us, until he was arrested 3 years later for abducting and killing two boys near his new home. Only then did we realize how lucky Bill had been. That night, as I'd fallen asleep, I remember wondering what was going to happen to Rudy and Bill's dad. When I woke up, things were normal for a summer morning. Around 9, I was making a bowl of cereal when I got a phone call. It was a friend of mine and he was short of breath and excited. The ghost house. It's gone, man. I hung up and hopped on my bike. When I arrived at the end of the streets, I looked down and saw the empty lot as it used to be. I rode down to it, and a small group were gathering, talking to the neighbors. It was much the same as the morning when it appeared. They hadn't heard or seen anything strange. It seemed to leave just as silently as it had arrived. To this day, I haven't met a soul who knows anything about that house. Sometimes I think I dreamt the whole thing up.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
But then I speak to an old friend from the neighborhood, and my memories are confirmed. Of course, I don't believe it was haunted or anything like that, but I know for sure that something was wrong about it. And I pray that I never see it again.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.